Merry Christmas. It is one of the great ironies of my life as a priest that although I help people celebrate Christmas traditions year after year, I never got to experience them as a child. No carols, no Christmas tree, no trips to the mall to visit old Saint Nick. Though I grew up in a religious household, my parents raised me in a small Christian denomination that chose to skip over the holiday altogether. Their reasons are too complicated to get into right now, but they can be summed up in a simple question. Why all this fanfare in the bleak midwinter when we can celebrate the life and teachings of Jesus every single day? That was the reason. Now, let me be clear, I love Christmas time now. I love the traditions that bring us closer to the story the Bible tells about Jesus, the Son of Mary, born in a manger. But I have no regrets about my childhood. It was a happy one, as far as I recall. I did not miss Christmas because I did not know what I was missing. To me, Christmas Day was just another day off during school winter break. I knew it was strange not to celebrate it, though. I was aware of how odd it was that my house was one of the only ones on the block without Christmas lights. I was also painfully aware that I never knew the words to any of the Christmas tunes. Eventually, I found my way into the Episcopal fold with its Advent wreaths and calendars, its Christmas pageants and poinsettias, its frosted candles and boughs of holly. Even now, however, after years of standing in front of you, declaring Advent this and Christmas that, I still feel a little nervous when the season rolls around, afraid that I'll be found out for an imposter, a fraud. Who ever heard of a priest who never celebrated Christmas? It's like a joke without a punchline. Sometimes stepping into the Christmas season for me feels to me like that moment when you first set foot in a foreign land, a place full of sights and wonders only the locals will ever truly understand. In those days, our gospel reads, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. The Gospel of Luke makes it clear this is the Roman Emperor's world, and Mary and Joseph just happen to be living in it. At the beginning of this story, Christmas has not taken place just yet. We are setting foot on foreign soil, my friends. It is full of sights and wonders only the locals truly understand. Let's take a moment to dive into this story. Let's take a moment to make the familiar just a little bit foreign. In this world, before Christmas, over 2,000 years ago, a people called Israel struggled under the Roman Emperor's rule. For centuries, they have been tossed to and fro, the subjects of would-be kings and strongmen. In the face of insecurity and struggle, in the face of ongoing adversity, they are making do with what they've got. They were a proud people once, but that was a long time ago. That was before exile and dispersion. That was before they forgot their call and purpose. Even so, for centuries, prophets rose up among them, casting a vision, not so much of the future, but of a present possibility far more real than their own, a time when the valleys would be filled up and the hills brought low, a time when the dispersed people of Israel will return to establish peace in their once great home. These prophets spoke of the return of the king, a branch of Jesse's tree, a mighty ruler, wonderful counselor, a prince of peace, a mighty king, strong to save. The prophets used this language because it is what is available to them. But they mean something else. They mean something more. They yearn for freedom, not subjugation to another earthly ruler. They yearn for justice for the many, not the prosperity of the few. They yearn for right relationship with God and with their neighbor, not anything less. The only way that people can imagine this, however, the only way they have seen this vision play out in the past is through the might of Rome and the armies of men. Somewhere in the hill country of Judah, however, a young girl hears an angel's whisper. Nearby, her soon-to-be husband gets similarly astounding and troubling news. The girl will give birth to a king, the angel says. He will speak with authority despite his humble origins. He will bring the empire to its knees without lifting a single sword. The emperor calls his census, and the family obliges. They travel roughly 85 miles from Nazareth to the father's hometown in Bethlehem. There, in a stable, unto them a child is born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid on a manger, attended by a royal court of braying cattle and bewildered shepherds. His birth marks the beginning of a new age. It won't just change time, it will change the way that people keep time, BC and AD, what came before him and what came after. The Son of Mary will proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. The poor carpenter's son will comfort the broken and disturb the powerful. All his efforts, all his work will culminate not in worldly success, but servant sacrifice. And one day, in the bleak midwinter, you and I will try once again to remember his story. Friends, it is easy to get lost in the celebration of a holiday you know all too well. It is easy to let the pomp and circumstance of Christmas cloud your view of what's at stake in the birth of this newborn king. Christmas, you see, is not the end of the story, but merely its beginning. It is not what happens when we unwrap presents on Christmas morning, but how we treat our neighbor the day after. It is not how we show appreciation for our own people, place, and kin, but how we demonstrate that same love to the stranger we have yet to meet. Year after year, we must return to this story as if we are stepping on foreign soil. We must hear its message anew. Sit in awe and wonder at what God has done, and imagine once again what God has yet to do with the likes of you and I. God is not done with us yet, my friends. So let us rejoice this Christmas, and let us remember that Christ is born anew, not once a year, but every single day we choose to follow him. Amen.